Our scripture reading today comes from Exodus 16, verses 2 to 15. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, where we sat by the pots of meat and ate our fill of bread, for you have brought us out into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not." On the sixth day, when they prepared for what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days. So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt. And in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, 'Draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining.'" And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, 'At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God.' In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp, and in the morning there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, 'What is it?' For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, 'It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat.'" In Romans 12, verses 1 to 8, "I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, on the basis of God's mercy, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable act of worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of the mind, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Now, by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourselves more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, prophecy in proportion to the faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the encourager in encouragement, the giver in sincerity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate in cheerfulness." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Have you ever received a gift you didn't like? The Christmas or birthday gift that is something you would never choose for yourself? The ugly sweater? The outlandish tie or scarf? The appliance for your kitchen that you will never use? We have all received at least one in our lives, and what do you do with the gift? Hide it in your cupboards, bottom of your drawers, back of the closet, or the dreaded re-gifting it to somebody else? Have you ever attended a wedding and then sat and complained about the food choices of the reception or how long things were taking? Or if that isn't you, have you sat with someone else who was doing the complaining? You may be thinking that there's no gift receiving as a guest at a wedding, but are you forgetting the experience and the wedding itself? And the wedding meal? Those cost the couple or their families money and time. By inviting you to share their day, They are giving you the gift of being recognized as special to them and wanting you there as a guest. In both situations, gifts are being given to you and you are not very happy, thankful, or joyful about it. According to the dictionary, a gift is something voluntarily transferred by one person to another without compensation. A notable capacity, natural ability of endowment, the act, right, or power of giving, or to endow with some power, quality, or attribute. In our scripture reading today, we are hearing about gifts from God. In Exodus, the Israelites are complaining about being brought out of slavery in Egypt and being in the desert where there's no food. In Egypt, they had pots of meat and never-ending supply of bread, but to receive their allotment, they had to work each day. That was provided to them by their slaveholders, the Egyptians. Here they are in the desert and once again complaining and not being thankful for what God has already done for them. The Israelites make this error in judgment over and over and over again, forgetting to trust and have faith in God to provide. Another item in this scripture to note is the Israelites complaining to Moses and Aaron. But Moses and Aaron do not go to God with the issue. God tells Moses what he is going to do. God is watching. He doesn't wait for Moses and Aaron to bring the complaint to him. God already had a plan. God is going to send the Israelites bread from heaven to feed them. This bread was called manna, the bread that God had rained down from heaven and was found on the ground after the dew dried. It was the gracious gift of food from God. The Exodus story also covers the gathering of the manna and quails daily. No matter how much the Israelites gathered, each family had exactly what they needed for the day. When the Israelites disobeyed the instructions of gathering more than they needed in a day, the excess manna was spoiled. Even in Lord's grace providing the sustaining food, the Israelites had hard hearts. It is a wonder to me how God didn't decide to turn his back on the Israelites, but continued to show them grace and provision over the years. Are you ever like the Israelites, turning your back on God's grace and provision? Complaining because you don't like how things are going in your life? I am sure that we have also all had one experience of that one time or another. Our second scripture takes us to Romans 12, where we find Paul writing about new life in Christ. Paul calls on us to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. He is saying to hold our bodies as holy and acceptable to God, basically to no longer be embroiled in the sins of the flesh. Remember, Paul is writing to the Roman Christians. He is reminding them that they are to be changed. Paul then goes on to tell his listeners to be transformed by the renewing of the mind, being discerning of what is the will of God. What is discerning? It is the ability to see and understand things clearly, making intelligent judgments and recognizing subtle details and quality. We talk a lot about being discerning when studying the Bible or about decisions to be made. But how do we become discerning? You must be able to see, understand, make judgments, and notice the small details. This can be hard to do. The best way to be more discerning is to study the Bible and be a disciple of Christ. Learn as much as you can and study Scripture. Have you ever had to decide about something in your life and you go to God in prayer asking to help in making the decision? I have, and the more that I surround myself with believers, I find that many others have also asked God in prayer and decisions were shown to them. Romans 12 has a unique place in my life in that I was doing a deep study of that chapter and I was contemplating a major change in making a job change. In this scripture, I kept coming back to the nagging thought that I have gifts that I should be using for God's purposes. I had prayed about it, and I was led to apply for a job at a church. It happens to be the job that I currently hold at Edinburgh UMC. I truly believe that God helped me make that discerning decision to apply and gave me the gifts to use for his purpose. In this scripture, Paul doesn't only talk about being discerning, but also about using your measure of faith that God has apportioned for you. What does that mean? How does God give you faith, and how can everyone not have an equal measure? An easier way to describe faith size is to think how we grow in our faith through discernment, and the more we grow in our discipleship, the more our faith grows and the better we become at discerning God's will. We also hear in this scripture about the body of Christ and how each member of the body serves a function and purpose. Not all of us have the same job to do, but all skills are used. Paul lists 7 gifts given through grace. Not everyone has the same gifts, but they will work together in the body of Christ. In the New Testament, there appears 17 different kinds of gifts for believers. In this scripture, these are the gifts that are listed: prophecy, ministry, teaching, exhortation, giving, leading, and compassion. We are each to use our gifts for the good of the whole body of Christ. What happens when we turn our back on our gifts? The body of Christ suffers. We are individuals, but we must work together and use each of our gifts by exercising the gift to the full extent of one's powers. These gifts provide for the needs of the body in unusual and sometimes confusing ways. Using the diverse and divine-given gifts together in community makes all the body of Christ stronger than each of its members. Jesus tells us that he is the bread of life, and his body is represented by bread in communion. He is the bread that came from heaven to give us a life-sustaining gift of forgiveness and eternal life. Manna was also the bread of life for the Israelites wandering in the desert for 40 years. God provided for the Israelites a way to eat. God provided us by sending his son, Jesus, to die for our sins and for us to be able to join him in heaven one day. So what do these 2 stories in scripture tell us? What should we be discerning from these scriptures? Well, 1, God provides even when we don't deserve his grace. 2, God uses the term of bread throughout scripture, and many times it is a foreshadowing of events to come and to remind of events in the past. 3, God is gracious and patient with all of his children, even when we don't deserve it. 4, manna was life to the Israelites. Bread from heaven and Jesus was life to all of those who believe in him and was sent from heaven to be born, live, and die as a human to provide for our salvation. 5, Jesus used the metaphor of him being the bread of life and for communion using bread as a substitute for his body, broken for you. 6, as Christianity grew, Paul tells us that we are the body of Christ and we work together for the good of all through our gifts given to us by the Holy Spirit. 7, manna was a gift. Jesus was a gift. Spiritual gifts are bestowed upon believers. So what happens when we don't like the gifts? As we know, the Israelites grumbled. Do you think they grumbled at all about eating manna and quail for 40 years every single day? The Bible doesn't talk about this, but my guess is, yeah. As we know, Jesus was the Messiah. He was a heaven-sent gift, and what was done to him? Those who should have been celebrating his appearance caused him to be stripped, whipped, beaten, crucified, and die. Spiritual gifts are assigned by God. In United Methodism, there is a quiz you can take to learn your spiritual gifts. Interestingly, those gifts can change over time. Last August, I was taking a class on Be a Disciple, which is an online teaching tool for Methodists, and it's about discovering and using your spiritual gifts. In the class, we were required to take a spiritual gift assessment and reflect on them. My top gifts were helping or assistance, administration, and then a tie with serving, teaching, leadership, and faith. I had been serving as the administrative assistant at Edinburgh UMC for almost 4 years at that point. So these particular gifts didn't really surprise me that was coming up top. What surprised me was a conversation that occurred shortly after I finished the two-week course. Our church treasurer, Kay, who had been handling the church treasury for many years, came into my office and asked to talk. Kay had been wanting to retire from the treasurer job for several years, and I had been adamant to the finance chair and the pastor that although I had the skills and had done treasury work and other jobs that I'd held over my lifetime, I did not want to do financial stuff now. Fast forward to Kay standing in front of my desk and with the statement, I will be 87 next year. I want to retire at the end of this year. I have talked to a couple of people and they all think that you would be perfect for handling the finances of the church. Will you do it? Here I am, not wanting to do the finances and have been very vocal about that for several years. And I have just finished a class on spiritual gifts and how you should not ignore your gifts, but use them for God's glory. But I didn't want the gift. I don't like finance. I have to say, I'm actually really good at finance. I just don't like doing it. I like to do fun and creative things. Like, isn't it more fun to do fun things? What did I find myself saying? Yes, Kay, I will take it on. It also made me examine my own job duties and change some things and let other things go for me to have the time to use the gift for God's glory and not mine. Let's face it. Fun, creative things make me feel good, but God needed me to remove some of that, not all, to make space for what gift the body of Christ needed me to do. That spiritual gift quiz also showed me that I was on the right path in pursuing lay servant, lay speaker. As I continued moving forward, Jarrah, who you met last week, encouraged me to pursue certified lay minister. I thought, why not? So far, the classes have been rewarding and guiding to me. Once I went through the first module, and part of that class was to retake the spiritual gift quiz. It showed my three highest gifts this time were faith, exhortation, and healing. Once again, I am accepting my gifts and letting God use me for his work. That is how I ended up before you today, preaching my very first sermon. I have been doing devotionals over the last 7 months. But this is my first actual real live leading worship sermon. So if I make mistakes, please forgive me. Now, I've done plenty of speeches in my lifetime, but this is special because I'm sharing my gifts with you. I hope that you are sharing your gifts within your church community. I know that you have a new pastor coming, just as we do at Edinburgh. Now is the time to use those gifts if you haven't been using them. Now is the perfect time to start a new ministry or improve on one you currently do. Because if you're trying to ignore your gift, or as I did, not like the gift, it is time to remember the Israelites grumbling and Paul's letter to the Romans to accept and use your gifts for the body of Christ. Thanks be to God.